susai kat dompar ai kopiang kemojo mai moga ton nomoskar. O Frankie Fernandez, Melbourne, Australia ton tumkan yo goncho, ani baile de sherau tele goncara cho kobro, kuknitlian pawita. Azmaachi, 24 tarik. Surwate kobor, UK London son. Kobor miole te permone, UK to sarkar, apli immigration policy hatun budul hadpak proyatn korta. Ani hacher baile deshantli burgi ji UK hanga shikop korta toshech amche goinkar ani dusre deshantle hanga gelle kay varsha ravta tanka UK chi citizenship or permanent residency miopak bharpur kotin javpache asa. Adi je kon UK 5 varsha service kortale ani ravtale tanka permanent residency miotali. Pun ata UK cho sarkar immigration policy hatun budul hadlo jalyar tanka anik 5 varsha ravpak pottele permanent residency miopak. Hache bair skill threshold bi sarkar tight korun yojita. Hacher hanga baile deshantle shikop korpi burge toshech dusre goinkar asa tancher bharpur impact pottolo sangta Labour Party cho adlo MP Keith Waz.
Clearly the new rules that are being introduced by the British government are going to have an effect on young Goans who have chosen to come and live in the United Kingdom. If they choose to do so now, it will be, of course, as Portuguese citizens, unless they come as primary migrants. They come for work or they marry someone who happens to be a British citizen. So any changes to immigration rules causes concern to members of the community, especially as we have a very successful and very settled Goan community here. And I would imagine that they would be studying the proposals very carefully. They've not been enacted into law as yet. They have to go through Parliament. And the proposals will be amended by members of Parliament. But at the outset, they are designed to curb the number of Goans and migrants coming to the United Kingdom. They're not directed at Goans, they're directed at all migrants, but of course young Goans will be affected.
Thank you, Mr. Keith Waz, for your valuable inputs. Definitely, this will be a major concern, not just for the overseas students, but also for the Goan diaspora and others who wish to make UK their home. Khabar Goyan son. Gelya sumanant Goyant bharpur paus padlo. Perne, Punje, Mapsa, Morgon, Vasco, and Vegvegle Bagani, Burpur Paus Podlo, and Butti Ivy. Indian Meteorological Department Hane, Orange Alert announced Kella. And Hop Paus, Maja Sovistarke Miren, Salo Astola Mun Sangla. Don flights, Pune Goa, and Dusri, Mumbai Goa, be a Pausak Lagun, Divert Kurchipodli. Gelia Marchacha Muinant, Goa Bench of the Bombay High Court Hane, Town and Country Planning Act hache Section 17(2) read down kele. Kotacha pormane Section 17(2) hache pormane Goi sarkaran ani Town and Country Planning hane sumar 350 ani 3 approvals dilli. Hatun sumar 27 lakh square meter goichi zomin hache zone change kele. Ata Goi sarkaran Goa Bench of the Bombay High Court hache order Supreme Courtan challenge kele. Ek kushal kaichi khabar. गांव जालो जंटो हे गोंयचे मदे नुईचे बाबते नाटक गोंयात इंदेक तसे भायले देशांत भरपूर गाजले पण गेल्ल्या सुमनांत हे नाटक एक दिसाक पोंडाच्या राजीव गांधी कला मंदीर हांगा सकाळचे ते रातच्या वेळार सेगीत 700 आणि ते बी फुल हाऊस करून वर्ल्ड रिकॉर्ड केलो. आमकां हे नाटकाचो डिरेक्टर राजदीप नायक सांगता हो वर्ल्ड रिकॉर्ड फकत लोकांच्या मोगा खातीर जालो म्हूण. आयकात
गांव जाला जाणटो ह्या नाटकान वर्ल्ड रेकॉर्ड केलो. एका दिसा 7 प्रयोग केले. जरी आम्ही हे प्रयोग आम्ही जरी स्टेजीर असून केले तरी आमकां उर्बा दिवपी आशिल्ले ते तुम्ही सगळे गोंयकार. जे गोंयकार गोंया भायर आसा, ऑस्ट्रेलियेक आसा, लंडनाक आसा, जगाचे फाटी जय जय ज्या लोकांनी आसा थंयच्यान आमकां विशेष दिले, कितलेशेच लोकांनी आमकां फायनान्शियल हेल्प केलो, त्याच खातीर तर हो विश्वविक्रम वर्ल्ड रेकॉर्ड जावपाक पावलो. आनी गोंयकारांनो आनी भारतीयांनो तुम्ही जय जय असा थंयच्यान मोग केला. तुमचो उपकार आम्ही कशेच म्हणजे उतराना आमचे कडे उपकार मानपाक. सगळ्यांक देव बरे करू म्हणटा असो तुमचो मोग आमचेर आसुनी. आणि जे 7 प्रयोग केले खरे म्हटल्यार 5-6 जाता म्हणसर अक्षरशः आम्ही थकताले, पण तुमची माया आशिल्ली, तुमचे आशीर्वाद आमच्या फाटल्यान आशिल्ले, म्हणूनच तर आम्ही हो वर्ल्ड रेकॉर्ड करपाक पडले. गांव जाला जाणटो हे पहिले नाटक जगातले जे एका दिसा एका स्टेजीचेर एकाच टीमी बरोबर सात प्रयोग करपी हे नाटक. आणि म्हादयचो विषय आम्ही जगभर पावयलो. म्हादयचो विषय हो आणि गांवचो, गांव आमचे ना जायत चालले वा गांव सोडून वता आणि गांव खाली जाता. सो हो मेसेज दिवपी हे नाटक तुम्ही गोयकारांनी वाखाणले. तुमकां आम्ही काळजातल्यान देव बरे करू म्हणटा आणि सगळ्यांचो असोच मोग आसूनी नाटक तुमचे वर्ल्ड रिकॉर्ड तुमचो तुमच्याच पायार उरता.
तर ह्यो जावन आसल्यो आमच्यो सुसेगाद दनपार गोंयच्यो आनी भायल्या देशांत रावतल्या गोंयकारांच्यो खबरो मेलबर्न ऑस्ट्रेलिया सावन. मेळुया दुसऱ्या सोमारात, ते मेरेन मोग आसून दी.
कितेंच केल्यार आयकुची ना, कोणाचे जावं कानार दवरची ना, काजार जाल्या बोगोर रावची ना. हांव चिडून चलता फिटी फिटी फिटी, म्हणटात म्हाका बोंबोयची बिरमुटी, चोले म्हाका मोगाच्यो धाडटा चिटी, पूण कोणाकूच हांव फोडी ना मिटी. आसोंक म्हाका येता चिंतू, रस्त्यात चलताना बेश्टीच माता तांसे, दोळे मुट्टात वशे वशे वशे, वतो आणि म्हाकाच पयता, कितें बाबा तुका जाता, पळोवंक बरो दिसता, आमूरकोच आसता तोवूय माता रो पुता. शेतां म्हूण बोंदेर फेस्ताची, हांव काजार जाता वेरीसू, नवरो म्हजो भुरगो नोयजू, रोडो नाका चिंतू, काजार जातूच म्हजो चंद्री म्हाका निमू.
मगासो येवकार तुमकां सर्व आयकतल्यांक हांव रिची उलयतां आयच्या सुशेगाद दनपार कोंकणी रेडियो प्रोग्रामार 104.4 प्लॅनेट एफ एम वयरतान वय मू हॅक्टर प्लॅनेट एफ एम वयरतान. ओके, म्हजे सांगात आज आसा हॅक्टर बाब आनी शायला बाय आनी एक सुबीत ऑकलंडाची बिरमुती. Would you like to introduce yourself to us?
Yes, of course. Hello, everyone. Namaskar. My name is Aliana Haydari. I'm just a guest coming from the University of Auckland here to talk about philosophy and theology and just the continuation of our discussion about the Pope from a couple of weeks ago, if I remember correctly. I'm pleased to be back.
Well, that's a pretty brief introduction, Aliana. Just expand about where are you originally from? Or rather, where
tell
your
us a
parents
bit about yourself. Yes, I'll give you a whole biography. All right. yes, so I'm 21 years old. I'm in my final year of my degree, majoring in philosophy and theology. I have an Iranian ethnic origin, first generation immigrant. My family moved here in the late 90s, settling in Ponsonby, opening up a Botox clinic, which was very lucrative back in those days. All the Ponsonby ladies were very keen on that. And eventually they realized actually it is a lot more peaceful living a coastal lifestyle here in New Zealand than the bustling hot weather of the Middle East. So they settled here, and the plan was always actually to go back to Iran, but then, you know, they loved it here too much. And I actually started my university doing biomedicine, but then eventually realizing that I want to be more so in the study of healing the soul rather than the body. So then I fell into the trap of philosophy.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And as Hector likes to call it, my theological antics constantly either boring everyone or hopefully not that. Hopefully everyone's going to be enjoying
we
it.
We had some really invigorating discussions behind the table at the Maritime Museum.
Yes, exactly. Actually, just to give some more background, I met Hector. I work at the Maritime Museum. Hector's volunteering there, and oftentimes we would squeeze in moments where customers aren't around so that we can have a, you know, study the entirety of philosophy in the span of 30 seconds in between customers. So
that's, I was just thinking that's quite a U-turn. Biomed to philosophy and theology is, sounds more like just a curve. It sounds like somebody firmly pulled you out of, like, biomed.
Exactly. Yes, I get that question quite a lot. But, you know, I did see quite a lot of parallel between biomedicine, particularly neuroscience, which was my specialty, and philosophy, because what I wanted to do was bridge neuroscience, the study of the brain, with philosophy, kind of the study of consciousness. There's actually quite a bit of overlap there. But then once we started learning about the kidneys and the bones, I thought, actually, I'm out of here. There's no God to be found in anyone's bones, so, you know, I'll move on, I'll pass.
It sounds a bit different from what we from other younger generations about, you know, people don't think about God so much. What influences you to think about God?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Really, unfortunately, it's quite a fading curiosity. I think it is actually being reinvigorated again. But I think as a child, I was always really troubled by this question, because religion was present in my family, but in a very ambiguous way. So as to the fact that I was led to kind of investigate that on my own, I wasn't really taught any doctrine in my family, so I had to kind of figure it out on myself. I remember memories of being 8 or 9 and people wanting to play on the playground, and then I'm freaking out telling everyone, why don't we figure out what happens after we die, you know, like quite a peculiar sort of thing. And yeah, it is unfortunate. I think the youth nowadays are focused on other things, and that's okay, because, I mean, if everyone was here trying to look for God, then, you know, who's going to be actually healing our bodies, and who's going to be building our bridges? So we can't be very ignorant and say that the pursuit for philosophy is the only honourable pursuit, but I think it really should have a space here in our society, definitely.
So do you think you've always kind of been a deep thinker?
a deep thinker. You know, I always say I think we are all philosophers. Just our capacity to be able to think means that we are philosophers. I think one of the unfortunate things about philosophy is it's a little bit elitist, meaning, you know, a lot of people who do study philosophy can come across as a little bit snobbish. To say a deep thinker, I think all the thoughts that I was thinking, everyone else had thought before me. Yeah, I was just trying to find the answer for it. You know, the idea of whether God exists is something I think most of us think about throughout our lives.
Would you have preferred if your parents called you Socrates? rather than Aliana?
Oh, that's funny, actually. On my baby name list, if I ever have a child, I want to call her Hypatia, which was the first female philosopher. She was a mathematician. So the funny thing with my name, Aliana, actually, it was an illegal name in Iran. When I was going to get my passport, you had to name your child a Muslim name because it's a theocracy. So at that time, they called me Ali and Anna. So Anna meaning in the local language mother, and then Ali, who was an Islamic prophet and messenger. So they just rationalized it that way by saying mother of Ali. And they bypassed the law. Yeah. And my surname, my original surname, Amir Malik, was also illegal as well. So my whole name is illegal. Yeah.
Wow. So what do you do in a normal social conversation, if there is one, other than philosophy?
Well, I do love a bit of jokes and humour, because there's no philosophy without a bit of lightheartedness, yeah.
So how do your friends react, you know, if you take off on some philosophical
They get a little bit annoyed, actually. I have a couple... Well, you know, I think to talk about philosophy doesn't always need to be rigorous and technical and academic. I think that's a bit of a shallow way of thinking about it. I think most of the open-ended questions we ask just on a day-to-day basis is philosophy, in a way. So oftentimes it is my debating problem which bothers my friends. Once I get into the perspective of trying to debate everyone, that's when they hit my mute button. But
I was going to ask, in your young adult journey, has it been difficult to find people who engage? I mean, if I'm thinking of the normal youth who want to party and really just, has it been difficult or is it easy to find people, you know, that you would like to have conversations with or that are even interested in conversation?
Yeah, you know what? It's really interesting. You look at the youth currently and you get this idea of everyone going to parties and nightclubs. And, you know, I've been to my fair share of parties, and you go to these parties and you see a bunch of youth that feel kind of lost, and there's always one person in the corner that's had a few too many drinks and is now thinking about the afterlife, and I like to go and victimize those people. I'll go find them in the corner and say, hey, have you thought about what happens after we die? And then that's exactly the framework you want to find them in, because they're under the influence. So,
and have those conversations been good enough? Have you found answers to them?
You know what? It's actually the most interesting. I advise everyone to go and find your local intoxicated friend and have conversation, because they'll teach you wisdom. They've unlocked something, you know. They've gone to a different place, so they've got some wisdom that they've found. But yeah, I really do think, you know, there's this whole idea that you can only have a fruitful conversation with your philosophy professors and these academic people, but really the most interesting conversations I have had with people are in my local park, because I like to go up to people and hold them hostage into conversation, taxi drivers, and also patients at the hospital where I volunteer. These are people, I believe we've all lived a life. The mere fact that we've lived a life is testament to it is a credential in itself to be able to have fruitful conversations.
So what's the linkage between...
go ahead. Sorry.
So what's the linkage between philosophy and theology? I mean, a lot of people say, you know, there's a lot of relationship.
Yeah, there's really an overlap. I mean, you can find theology in philosophy. You can find philosophy in theology. Philosophy really is just the science of asking why, and there's branches to philosophy. There's ethical philosophy, there's metaphysics, which is the study of anything we can't see, feel, touch, such as the soul, heaven and hell, God, and there's a philosophy of religion, which is concerning just any religion. Theology is more so the study of a particular religion, how these religions function. You can come at it from a secular point of view. It's more so the study of the religion itself. Philosophy is kind of more the big question mark of
faith, existence,
yeah,
belief.
Yeah, exactly, kind of and also a lot of logic. So you can't really do philosophy without logic, which is its whole... it's a whole nother thing. It's like the logic of arguments and things like that. It's quite a technical thing. But a theologist is different. A theologian is different to a philosopher, definitely. Yeah.
Sorry, Hector, I cut you off.
No. When you were talking about, you know, going to the park, and do you stand up on that speaker's podium in Albert Park and wax eloquent?
Actually, yes, there's just in Albert Park next to our university, Auckland University. There's a speaker's podium. Oftentimes it's empty, but some days it's occupied by this local gentleman. He likes to go there and speak to the masses, which is often just me, so I've kind of become a fan of his. But if I'm in the park, the local park, I live in Ponsonby, there's a park, Western Park. There's often a lot of people sitting alone, and sometimes I'll just go up to them and ask a question, and they're often hesitant at first, but I think there's a lot of loneliness in our current community, and people are really thirsty just for a conversation out of the blue. You know, instead of resorting to social media, people are pretty keen to just have a
random chat.
So going back from Albert Park to what we were discussing before. Sorry.
No. There is some back and forth.
Yeah, we're talking in four dimensions right now. So,
so going back to your earlier description of philosophy, he says there is a rationale, there is some logic sitting behind it. But on the other side of theology, well, they tell people to believe, not to rationalize, to have faith.
Yeah.
How do you reconcile the two?
Yeah, that's the difficult thing, you know? Like, philosophy is defined by rationale and logic and making sure one premise always leads to another premise, which leads to a conclusion. You know, there's an actual part of philosophy called modal logic. It's reminiscent of mathematics, really. But when it crosses the path into theology, then you suddenly have to make a lot of leaps of faith. But I would object to that as well, because if you look at the world of science, so much of how we understand the world are basically theories which require faith. So I would say that faith is not actually just a religious requirement. It's part of everyday, even science. So much of science, you require faith to believe in it. So I think this whole idea of faith and believing, quote-unquote, blindly in something is actually an exercise we do every day, you know? For example, the theory of evolution, it's extremely well understood amongst the scientific community, but at the end of the day, it is a theory, for example.
So you have traversed quite a bit into theology, and you have made your decision where you want to be at the moment. Is it momentary or is it deep-founded?
With my prospect of studying philosophy?
Yeah, no, studying theology.
Oh, studying theology. Well, what really took me toward theology was, I think, quite a while ago, I think when I was in intermediate school, I suddenly had the realization that if there is a God that exists out there, that it should be all of our responsibility to... It should be the collective human responsibility to be in search of that. If there is the possibility of a God, and this is a completely, slightly controversial personal opinion, but if there is a God, then why should I spend 99% of my time pursuing a material career or... you know, if there is a God, then that is my responsibility to pursue that. And I've just been obsessed about that for as long as I can remember. In the same way that someone can be obsessed about medicine and they continue that for the rest of their lives. I think if there is a God, that he has put in all of our hearts a pursuit, something to pursue, and that is just our responsibility and what we should be following. And for me, it just happened to be philosophy. And the fun thing is, you'll never actually find the answer. So while everyone else is doing science and music and art and literature, they'll always find an answer, but I can always use the excuse that, well, it's philosophy, I don't have to give anyone an answer.
You know, there's a punchline in one of the ads for detergent in India called Surf. The punchline is, "Doom te re jaoge," in the sense you'll keep searching.
Exactly.
Where the journey itself is the destination. That's how
exactly. If I'm always on the journey, then no one can ask me for a conclusion. So I'm still in progress.
That itself is the destination.
Yes. Yeah.
So what attracted you so much to the Christian faith? The theology studies or is it outside the theology studies?
Oh, the Christian faith, that's really interesting. You know, in my family, I was raised with the idea of a God, and that being an Abrahamic God. So it was kind of a seesaw between Islam and Christianity. And my parents kind of allowed me to sort of figure that out on my own. And then I also had a father who had his own beliefs, so I wasn't really forced a certain doctrine onto me. But having that sort of ember in my childhood kind of allowed me to start lighting a fire so that I could do some personal study. And just personally, in my own investigations, I've observed a lot of interesting truths in Christianity, and then being able to compare that to Judaism and Hinduism and Vedic religions and Islam, I've been able to
slowly come to my own conclusions, but that is a very long journey ahead. I have years to go on about that. Hence why I don't sit here and proclaim to be Christian or proclaim to be Muslim. I think in order for me to make that leap of faith, no pun intended,
More philosophical or is it more theological?
Definitely more theological, just because it is theology at the end of the day. When I'm studying Christianity, I'm kind of really looking into Christianity with like an academic point of view. But what's really interesting is a friend of mine actually pointed that out to me as a flaw. You know, sometimes when you look at matters like Christianity or religion in general, when you look at it from the human rationale lens, you really face some roadblocks. So looking at it too analytically can cause some problems, you know, because we are trying to understand something that is beyond the scope of our human understanding.
So would you like to take a break? Okay, let's listen to
some.
Yeah, sure.
So let's listen to some music. This once again, Sonia Shashat playing Tara Bom Bom.
So so fula so polo fulta, so sori baba so moga tsolta, so koni chelo chelo bag bulta, magi to moga chazala rahta, kurun kata tara bum bum bum, tara tara bum 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 bum, kitere to moga tara bum bum bum, tara tara bum 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 bum, kurun kata tara bum bum bum, tara tara bum 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 bum, pasolo to moga tara bum bum bum. Mogan potus poile vore dista, todos te tocas amigo nasta, agir baba dusmani un gusta, mokor kitle babre posta, horis to mok tara bum bum bum, tara tara bum 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 bum.
तुम्ही ऐकत आहात सुशेगार्दन पार कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्रॅम 104.0 प्लॅनेट एफ एम वयरतान. गायनाच्या पहिले तुम्ही ऐकत आल्यात आलियानाक फिलॉसॉफी आणि थिओलॉजी विशींत, आणि ताणे सांगले ताका फिलॉसॉफी कित्याक बरं लागता या थिओलॉजी कित्याक बरं लागता. डीड यू अंडरस्टँड?
या, आय एम नॉडिंग लाइक आय अंडरस्टँड.
So, Aliana, when you came last time, about a fortnight ago on the radio, we were discussing about the conclave which was taking place in Rome to elect a new pope. And we didn't know at that point of time in which way the whole election would go and how it would take place. It was more of a political discussion in the media, whether it be a rightist pope or a leftist pope and so on and so forth. We have now got a new pope in Pope Leo the 14th, and there are a lot of other discussions going around it. What is your sort of feeling from the time that you've started digging into that conclave and discussions, and now that a new pope is there?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is that I'm happy that I didn't put any money on my bet when you guys asked me who the next pope would be, because I was extremely way off. But that actually is an interesting thing as well. Not many people expected Cardinal Prevost to become the next pope, which kind of suggests to me that inside the Vatican there's probably a lot of internal private discussions which lead to the appointing of the new pope. But it has been... I couldn't have desired a more interesting pope, just not only in the political sense, but also who he is as well. We could go through a little bit of introductory information just about Pope Leo, just to have our listeners know who he's all about. So Pope Leo was born Robert Francis Prevost, and the name that he chose, Pope Leo, is the most interesting thing. That is something that Hector was discussing with me about as well. That name of Leo symbolizes and helps us slightly predict what his future ministry will look like. So the name Leo evokes the legacy of Pope XIII, who was in the 1800s, who was known for social teachings and his effort to reconcile the church. That leads in a lot to what we might be able to expect Pope Leo's ministry as Pope to look mm-hmm. like.
So the papacy, as I was just thinking about, is full of signals. Black smoke, yes. White smoke, holy smoke. And here is, so the name has a lot of significance. I think it's giving a signal to what kind of pope he, you know, his ministry is going to be about. I feel that's quite exactly. significant.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of what most people are desiring to find out as soon as the because it's different to a political election. When we're voting for a new president, we have a sort of idea of what they are going to be like. We choose, the people choose the president. So we know what to sort of expect. But in a conclave scenario, when it's a little bit of a secret to us, once the Pope is announced, we're so desperate to find out who it's going to be, what's going to happen now. So it's such a vital and important part when we do figure out who the new Pope is, to get as much information as we can about what the next decade is going to look like.
So, in my view, you know, it's good that you take a name of a past pope and try to carry on that same legacy. But times are different.
Mm-hmm.
They are not the same. So, what do you think, that it would fly pretty well, or would there be challenges? Like, when we look at Donald Trump, he talked about his philosophy even back in the 80s. He seems to be now trying to impose it and is creating quite a bit of a racket. So what do you think in the context of the Pope?
With reference to...
Oh, well, we're talking about that the church needs to be more to the ground, needs to look after the inequality in the society and things like that.
Yeah, you're actually linking back to his selection of the name. The things that Pope Leo XIII was discussing in his time were actually extremely relevant to the problems we're facing now. And Hector actually presented this idea to me a couple of nights ago. The encyclical that Pope Leo XIII wrote, and he wrote 90 of them, which was a lot compared to Pope Francis, I think, wrote two or something. What he was really revolutionary for was his push to a reform for workers' rights and equality among the world. And, you know, that time at the end of the Industrial Revolution, the workers' rights was a big problem facing the world. And yet we still see that again in this modern age, you know, factory workers, unequal working conditions, and having Pope Leo now address these problems, I think, is very relevant to our current state. It's more so a question of, now that we have a new pope, again, back to the question of what we were discussing last time, are we going to move forward with the times or stick to traditionalism? Like, what is the outcome that's going to become the best for Catholicism in the future? Yeah.
So, Pope Leo XIV has experienced liberation theology in the South African state. South American state. So, the question is, like, you know, trying to establish some sort of equality, some sort of rights, which is pretty the same what liberation theology talked about. So he runs the danger of going down the track.
Yeah, you're referencing particularly to, like, left-wing modern liberalism?
Yeah. I mean, basically, when we talk about laborers' rights and equality in gender recruitment,
yes,
salaries, like, say, for example, this government has done away with pay equity.
That's correct. Oh, yeah. That's correct. Yes. Yeah, that's really interesting. That's the ministry that he had in South America was in Peru, a place of great political turmoil. He had a lot of work that he did there in standing up to the government, objecting to the government, and saving a lot of people from getting conscripted into wars that they shouldn't be getting into, while also taking care of a lot of the maybe less fortunate members of that society. And there is no room for classism and elitism in a faith like Christianity, which originated with Christ as an individual who was not part of a bourgeoisie or a part of the elite. So for the Pope, despite his immense power, the great money that the Vatican has, I think there is no room to have a Pope who is focusing on the rights of billionaires. You know, that's something that I think we should reserve for American politics.
Yeah, and you know, his two public sermons, one when he, the first sermon, his first mass, and then his inauguration, which was his, do those sermons or those speeches give some indication? I think he would be liking, he was trying to give a message of where his papacy would be leading to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, calling out certain wars, and what was actually notably interesting to me, which might not be exactly relevant to the matter of liberation ethics that we're discussing now, is Pope Leo discussing the threat of artificial intelligence as potentially affecting human dignity in the future. This is something that has not faced any of the previous popes. It's very much a new age threat. And having him in his first couple of weeks of being the Pope to address this, I think, was a very big signifier that if the Pope is discussing about AI, then I think we should all be looking into that a little bit further as a potential threat. Yeah.
So what did you think about his order? He comes from an Augustinian order. Do you have some insights into what that order is? Very, very few of us, at least I am not aware.
Yeah, I think the first time that most of us heard about Augustinian, the community is at when this Pope was elected. It's not a popular kind of, you know, we hear about so many other.
Yeah.
So can you throw some light, because you are quite deep into it?
Really interesting, and you're completely right. The Augustinian order, he is the first Augustinian pope, and what's interesting is in the world of philosophy and academics and theology, Augustine comes from St. Augustine of Hippo, who lived between the 4th and 5th century. He was a very famous philosopher of Christian theology. We all know him really well. It's really part of a lot of our university essays, like when you go and do a first course paper on theology or the philosophy of religion, often they tell you, okay, go and research St. Augustine. And perfect timing, I had just finished an essay on St. Augustine, so then eventually finding out that our new Pope is of the Augustinian, I was super excited. I thought, oh, it's all working. It's all working out. But yeah, the Augustinian theology is famous because of their idea of original sin, but the Augustinian order doesn't focus on that so much. It more so focuses on this concept of unity and community. So they have these principles, unitas, veritas, and caritas, which is unity, truth, and love. One of the most important aspects of being an Augustinian is the concept of community. There is no love for Christ without a communal love for Christ and a deep need for spirituality. I think that's what's needed.
So how does this mathematical mind fit into this philosophical stuff? Because he's done his bachelorette in mathematics.
Yes, exactly. He's a statistician, actually.
Same way a biomed mind fits into theology and theology.
Exactly. That's actually so interesting. He is a statistician, and I think he's actually written a research paper on statistics, which is really interesting. But it just shows, I think that actually kind of humanizes a lot of our religious leaders, that they're not these individuals who are just, you know, sticking in some corner and reading the Bible 24/7. They actually are humans themselves who have a wide range of interests. You know, if you want to be the Pope, doesn't mean that all your business is just God. They're humans as well. And that's actually really interesting. Statistics is very helpful. I failed my first year statistics course, so that's not really my area of expertise. But yeah.
I was just thinking as you were asking that question, I know a couple of others who lean towards philosophy and theology and also are very, very high on the math scale, math and statistics scale.
Math or math?
Math. No, not math. Definitely not math. But it's intriguing that, I mean, math is as pure a science as you can get to science. And theology and philosophy is as far away from science as people perceive it to be. And you wonder whether there is actually that common root, you know, that whole, if a mathematical mind can be so questioning. It's quite interesting.
It actually is very interesting, although I would not apply that to myself. As I mentioned, I did not pass my statistics paper. So, but there's something actually quite romantic and divine about mathematics. It's really beautiful. It's like a language in itself. And I think once you become quite masterful in mathematics, it's almost like you unveil it's beautiful because mathematics is the pattern everywhere. Mathematics is everywhere. It's not just addition and subtraction, but to be masterful in mathematics is, I think, is a good sign of great.
It's also the science of order.
Exactly.
So you can see order and pattern everywhere. Then,
yeah, it's very useful, but unfortunately, I wasn't very good.
So, as a theologian, Popelio, as a theologian, as a priest, as a mathematician, he found a way of getting things done to work for the community, to demonstrate his Augustinian principles. You, as a philosopher or rather a student of philosophy.
Yeah, that sounds better.
A student of philosophy and theology. How do you perceive yourself to unleash that sort of talent within you in the community?
Yeah.
Or do you have some sort of principles, either the Augustinian principles or Jesuit principles, or Salesian principles? How would you like to?
Well, you know, the first thing is I think one of the first principles that I really try to abide by that I think is actually quite difficult for all of us. I think we all like to proclaim our humility, but once you become, let's say, a little bit good at something, you suddenly think that you're now the Socrates of that subject. I think to have humility is the first step to actually even having the slightest chance of gaining any wisdom. So what I like to employ, and I kind of learned this when I started studying philosophy further, is I realized the more I learn, the less I know, which is quite a cliche statement, but we all have felt that way at some point. I think the most important thing is to find a space in your community, just like this, to be able to have casual, open-ended conversation, because that is the art of philosophy. Greek philosophers thousands of years ago would walk around like Socrates would in the town, harassing people and forcing them to have conversation. I mean, we're not in the art of force. This is all consensual here, but that is exactly what I desire to do, is just to make sure that people are using their minds a little bit more often.
Fine. Are there any other famous Augustinians that you know of?
Yes, actually, surprisingly, Martin Luther,
Reformer.
The Reformer. So he was actually an Augustinian monk, and then he decided that he was not into it anymore. I know, I just found that out actually recently. So, I mean, he had some other interesting thoughts, but he was, that is a notable figure in the Augustinian theology.
So let's take a break, Aliana.
Yes.
Let's listen to some music.
A praia estava deserta e o sol surgiu lá no céu. E eu contente cantava pra você, Maria Isabel. A praia estava deserta e o sol surgiu lá no céu. E eu contente cantava pra você, Maria Isabel. Pega na esteira o seu chapéu, vamos à praia que o sol já vem. Pega na esteira o seu chapéu, vamos à praia que o sol já vem. Tiribiribim, lá-pá-pá-pá. Tiribiribim, pá-pá-pá-pá. Tiribiribim, pá-pá-pá-pá. Tiribiribim,
ba 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 chiri biri bim 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 ba 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 Narei escrevi-o teu nome, mas logo eu o apaguei, com medo que alguém pisasse o teu nome, Marisabel. Narei escrevi-o teu nome, e logo eu o apaguei, com medo que alguém pisasse o teu nome, Marisabel. Pega na esteira o teu chapéu, vamos à praia que o sol já vem. Pega na esteira o teu chapéu, vamos à praia que o sol já vem. Tiribiribim, bababá, 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 tiribiribim, bababá. Olê, mulher rendeira, olê, mulher renda. Olê, mulher rendeira, olê, mulher renda. Tu me ensinas a ser renda, eu te ensino a namorar. Tu me ensinas a ser renda, eu te ensino a namorar. Lampião desceu a serra, deu um baile no cajazeira, deixou as moças donzelas cantar mulher rendeira. Olê, mulher rendeira, olê, mulher renda. Olê, mulher rendeira, olê, mulher renda. Tu me ensina a fazer renda, eu te ensino
a namorar. Yeah, magagain, gaino. I just don't know how to sing this song. But anyway, if listeners, you're listening to Sushegat Dhanpar on 104.6 Planet FM. And we have here Aliana Haidari. Is that right?
That's yeah. Right.
A student of philosophy and theology at the University of Auckland. In between, I just christened her as a philosopher. But nice. You must have had a good feeling. At least Richard considers me as a philosopher. So, Aliana, when we talked about a fortnight ago, you know, we were still debating who, and then this new person comes up from Peru who is an American, and Americans think, you know, it's our Pope, and the Peruvians think it is our Pope.
Yes.
And the whole Catholic world says, oh, you've got a new Pope. What do you think about his papacy? Do you think it will go as per what he plans, or do you think there would be some changes as he goes along?
Well,
I mean, I'm looking at it from the context of what he's done in Peru, and the decision that he decided to go from the United States to Peru and take a citizenship there.
Yeah, definitely. And when I look at that, his ministry before, I think, is a beautiful CV that can give us a little bit of insight into what the next few years, hopefully decade, is going to look. Few decades, if need be. What really made me quite fond of Pope Leo was when he discussed the concept of AI. And I think if there's one thing that we should all probably consider is, in my personal belief, I think we're entering a new eon, a new era. And one which now we have probably the imminent threat of artificial life forms, something that might be threatening to us and our human dignity. And we have the choice now to use this for good or for bad. I think we should certainly pay attention to Pope Leo and his commentary about AI. His dedication to maintaining human dignity, his Augustinian background, his work that he's done in Peru, I think these are all respectable pointers to the fact that the Vatican is going to make a fantastic comeback.
I have to admit, I'm continually irritated by this American Pope, media spiel. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, in the next, as you said, decade or decades that he is with us, whether, they want to claim him now. I wonder how comfortable he's going to be to claim in the years to come. Because there is an inherent nature of the kind of person he has proved himself to be. It's probably completely juxtaposed to what the Americans consider is American.
Yeah, he has it's really an antithesis to this whole concept of American imperialist, American capitalism, consumerism. It's almost in some ways not compatible with the doctrine and the ethos of Catholicism. And while politically the American government is trying to remind everyone that this is very much an American pope, is it really true, as you say? Is he really American in his ethos? Is that really what he is? And I personally don't think so. He has been critical of the American Republicans in the past, J.D. Vance, for example. So I'm intrigued. I don't see much... I don't really think Pope Leo is as interested in aligning himself with this American ethos that maybe the American government is, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think also being an Augustinian and St. Augustine, the pursuit of spirituality of St. Augustine's famous quote where our hearts are restless until they rest in you.
That's exactly right, yeah. Spirituality has been lost on the American Empire for quite some time now. Christianity has unfortunately been dwindling. This is incompatible with Catholicism. If anything, the Pope can reach back out to Western nations and remind them of the importance of Christ, religion, spirituality, at the minimum spirituality, and to move away from this concept of materialism. One of the most important things about becoming a priest, a bishop, a pope, leading a spiritual life is to let go of worldly desires in the pursuit to possibly have the chance to save the soul. This is seemingly incompatible with the society built in the United States and other countries too.
So just to pause on that word spirituality, okay, has it to be religious or can it be devoid of religiousness?
In the technical sense, it certainly can be devoid of religion per se. The whole definition of religion is an organized set of thinking and doctrine and practice and ritual. It is absolutely possible for one to execute spirituality on his own, but I personally believe that community is vital for feeding that spirituality. It takes a lot to be able to be a spiritual person on one's own. This is why religion has come about. Church, community church, is the push for people to come into church, because it is in our communities that we can find and foster that spirituality. It's like getting a little bit of help from our loved ones. Yeah.
So how would you address this to the youth today? I mean, the youth today look at spirituality and religion as synonymous, and they say, oh, there's too much of religion there, and they miss out on the spirituality. And those who are quite spiritual miss out on the importance of what you talked about as community.
Exactly.
So how do you address this to the youth?
Yeah, that's actually a fantastic question. Unfortunately, so much of our youth are almost maybe revolted by the word religion, because maybe families have gone about it in unsavory ways, and now they just want nothing to do with it. But I would just like to remind everyone that religion doesn't have to be what you experience religion to be. you have the opportunity and the chance and the free will to go and find that which is the truth. That doesn't have to be what you were born and raised with. It doesn't have to be what you heard on the television. So I think we all need to break away from what we think religion means and go and really find that definition for ourselves, because I think religion has been given way too bad of a name than it really is.
So, any more questions?
No, I thought that was a good piece of advice to end on, because it, like everything else, everyone goes on their own journey, right? To find, to study, it's worth it.
So, Alyona, it was great to have you on the program. Pleasure for both Hector, Shaila, and myself. We would like to have you again, but you'll have to let us know what your topics are.
Yes,
and we'll get a few more a few more youngsters into the room, and probably these oldies would shut up.
Yes, definitely. It would be fantastic to be able to come back on and have a little bit more roundtable discussion about these interesting matters.
Would you like to sort of demonstrate your Konkani skills before we sign off?
I need to get on to my go.
Well, we taught you a few words before we started.
I got Namaskar, which is the hello, and then I've got Muja Nao Alyana, if everyone forgot my name, and Dioboro Kurunumka.
Dioboro Kurunumka.
Dioboro Kurunumka.
Well done. Yay.
Well done.
good.
So on that note, we sign off. Thank you once again. Enjoy your evening. Dioboro Kurunumka Aikatalanku. And I hope you enjoy your evening, this Saturday evening, and also a good week ahead.
सुंदर बाबा साम कर जिएता चलता ना ते माडी कोशे हलता नी दोलता आजकल हम सुकुपित बाबा मोग चलो था योरे तू योरे भोगा भरबुर तुमको पाल मुझा अशे मुनों सदास आपईता रबोग लिंक मुझे थिंकोन बुसन कोंगरे मुझे केसरे पुसन मुझे करना भागरो लड़े था योरे तू योरे मोगा भरबुर तुमको पाल मुझा अशे मुनों सदास आपईता रबोग लिंक मुझे थिंकोन बुसन कोंगरे मुझे केसरे पुसन मुझे करना भागरो लड़े था चेडवान मका गोपन आरायलो आइलेन कोंदार थापोडता आमचो आगा मोग चोलता बियान मुझो चीवर चीवाडलो दिस ग्रास मुझे रायला दिसता वेळ वच मेलो दिसता चेडवान मका घुडांत लिपहिलो आइलेन कोंदार थापोडता आमचो आगा मोग चोलता बियान मुझो चीवर चीवाडलो रे दिस ग्रास मुझे रायला दिसता वेळ वच मेलो दिसता चेडवान मका घुडांत लिपहिलो
सरास लोकोमलो बाबा मुजेर सालवालो कोंब्या सगळ्या बोगले घेऊन शिनकरी लागलो नशीब काका